The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the morning after. LeBron's Lakers picking up the pieces after a devastating defeat. Is it all over in LA? Meanwhile, this all-time great offers the best reason yet to believe he isn't done winning Super Bowls. Wait until you hear this. And don't miss Coach K live in 15 minutes on his past, his present, and most importantly, his future. He's coming up as we get up with you, starting right now on a Friday from the Seaport. I'm Greeny. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us. Delighted this cast of characters has chosen to get up with us as well. Damian Woody is not in a good mood on this day. His Lakers are done and he is devastated. Plus, Bart Scott can't wait. Jeremy Fowler ready to go. Let's get to it. We begin with the game of the night. The end of the season for LeBron and the Lakers. They were looking to extend, and they had that man back in the lineup to do it, Anthony Davis, but it wouldn't last long. We're still early in the first. Devin Booker blowing by AD, and you can see Davis is just a shell of himself. Clearly in all kinds of pain, can't get back on defense, and here's the moment where he just knows it is over. Davis goes to the locker room. He would not return. Later in the first, meanwhile, Booker was just unstoppable. He hit six threes in the first, tied for the most threes in any quarter in NBA playoff history. That set the tone. Halfway through the second quarter, Suns up 21. That's more from Booker. Suns had a three-touchdown lead at halftime. 5 minutes to go in the third. Lakers down 15. LeBron not giving up. Taking it strong through the traffic. Staples Center starting to come alive, trying to will the Lakers to a win. They cut it to 13, a buck and a half to go in the third. Lakers down 15. That's LeBron. He would finish with 29. It's a 13-point game to the fourth. Fourth quarter, the lead is 15 points. Chris Paul in total control, knocking this one down. He had 8 points, 12 assists. Lakers needed timeout. Chris Paul can smell it as he walks to the sideline. Under two to go. Just watch LeBron. He just knows he's got nowhere to go. The Suns shot 50% from the floor, 51% from three. Devin Booker, 47 points in the series clinching win. LeBron and the Lakers are headed home after round one. Phoenix wins it in six.
Just wanted to be out there for the team. You know, in a situation, when to go home. Obviously didn't want to just lay down and not be able to do what I can. It never really felt good, but like I say, you know, once in a while, just the competitive nature in me to go out and help the team, you know, as best as I could. My body didn't agree.
You know, it doesn't matter to me as far as, you know, not making it out of the first round. What matters to me is getting this team back healthy. You know, me not being able to be at my full strength throughout this series, you know, that's my main focus. But, you know, time to you know, readjust and think about what the offseason has in store.
Well, it would be an unusually long offseason, and we're going to have complete coverage throughout this morning. Stephen A. is going to join us, and Zach Lowe and Big Perk is going to be here in just a minute. We're having a little technical issue with him, but I have to start, Damian Woody, with you. I see the look on your face. What is your reaction to the Lakers going out in round one last night?
First of all, Bart needs to chill with all that hooting and hollering over there because of my Lakers. But, man, it's devastation, Greeny. It really is, man, because, you know, you're coming off the championship last year, and then obviously you see what a team where both of its superstars are not 100% looks like going against a Phoenix Suns team that has a lot of firepower, a lot of young firepower, and led by Chris Paul, the veteran at the point guard position. And I mean, Greeny, I actually saw this coming a mile away, man. I just figured Anthony Davis was going to try to go, but I mean, listen, big guys don't tend to get healthy when they're always hurt. And, you know, it's a situation where LeBron would have to put up a Herculean type of effort, but it didn't matter in the end because the Phoenix Suns just had too much firepower.
Well, you just touched on it. And, Bart, I hear you talking about the NBA on your radio show literally every single day. And if there's one thing all football players know, it's injury. And I guess my question, Bart Scott, is looking ahead for LeBron and his chances of getting back to a championship, is Anthony Davis just too injury-prone to be depended upon to be the guy to help him do it?
Yeah, he's Samuel Jackson and Unbreakable, man. He's Mr. Glass. He's always hurt. And listen, he's too young to be hurt like this often, Greeny. And you need, right now, LeBron's later stage in his career, he needs to be Shaq, right? He needs to be Shaq going into the Miami Heat with Flash. He needs his young superstar to carry him. And LeBron, at this point in his career, needs to be great in spurts. He shouldn't be forced to have to carry a team right now. And that's the problem that's going on. Anthony Davis is not reliable. And that's what they have to really figure out. And LeBron, the general manager, outsmarted himself because he had some players last year that really would have helped. Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, you know, trading them in for Gasol and Drummond just hasn't worked out, Greeny. And LeBron has to take, you know, responsibility for that because Danny Green spaced the floor. He has nobody to space the floor, no shooters. Struder didn't show up. Caldwell Pope didn't show up. You know, Caruso didn't show up. And LeBron is the one that's responsible for that because he's the one that handpicked these players. And at this point, in this stage in his career, he needs a better supporting cast.
I guess that is the question of the day, however it is you want to phrase it, Damian Woody. When they win, LeBron gets the credit. Now they lose. How much of the blame do you think belongs with him?
Well, it's like any really good quarterback, Greeny. You know, it, just like you said, when LeBron wins, we shower praise on LeBron. When he loses, when the quarterback loses, a lot of blame goes on the quarterback as well in this particular situation. I get it. LeBron has been hurt. We all know about the injury that plagued him during the regular season. But at the end of the day, it's LeBron James. We have so high expectations for LeBron James. And what I was expecting, and I think what a lot of people was expecting, again, was a Herculean effort. You're going into an elimination game against the Phoenix Suns in the first round. We didn't need the facilitator LeBron. We needed the LeBron James that could dominate a game and will his team to the next game. But we just didn't get that, whether it be injury or whatever the case may be. So yes, there's going to be a lot of hate on LeBron today. And you know, I can't say that I'm against it, to be honest with you.
All right, final thought.
So here's the thing, right? Like, LeBron didn't run into his equal as far as a athletic ability when you think about him and Chris Paul. What he ran into is he ran into an equal leader who's able to facilitate and understand the game and be able to take control of the game. It's not about Chris Paul. We're not going to look at his numbers and say, oh, Chris Paul's what a great game he has. What he does is he manages the game. He understood when they had that run how to slow the game down, slow the tempo down, and be able to get some pivotal baskets to put the game away when LeBron was trying to play hero ball and they were trying to make a way to come back. You know, Montrezl Harrell coming in, not being able to contribute, LeBron has to take ownership of that as well, because that was a bad pickup.
Oh, by the way, Chris Paul had Devin Booker on his side last night, who scored 47 points.
Coming out party, Greeny.
LeBron's running mate, injury prone to say the least. All right, again, we are waiting to get Kendrick Perkins up here, just having some technical difficulties. We'll get him. We'll have Zach Lowe. We have Stephen A. We have Tim Legler. Full coverage of this as the morning continues. But there's also the huge football story today as we keep a close eye on the standoff between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Our Rob Domofsky, who covers Green Bay, was on ESPN 1000 radio in Chicago yesterday and had this to say regarding the possibility of Rodgers returning to the organization.
I just don't see him walking back in the Lambeau Field and saying, just kidding, guys, let's go win a championship. He's too dug in. He's too stubborn. I just don't see how you walk this back. I mean, the only way he walks it back is if he realizes that, you know, or believes that public sentiment is against him and he cares about what fans think of him. In terms of that legacy part of it. I guess that's the only way I see him reconsidering.
That is what I have been trying to argue here for a while. All these people saying the Packers are going to wait him out. You can wait an awful long time. This is, and I mean this, you know, in a not necessarily in a negative way. He's the most stubborn NFL player there is. So I don't see him walking back in there either. Jeremy Fowler, what should we be expecting as they have mandatory minicamp next week?
Well, Greeny, as of right now, the Packers are still a bit in the dark as to whether Aaron Rodgers will actually show up for minicamp. And I spoke to a couple league execs this morning who said he might just not because they know he is so dug in. But from what I'm told, the Packers' strategy is still clear-cut. They're actively looking for solutions here. They've looked at ways to potentially amend his contract for better guarantee structures to take the uncertainty of his future out of it. Looking at all options, they don't want to trade him, but they're also prepared to wait this out for the long run because they know, look, if things go really south, and that they have to trade him eventually, that would involve future draft picks that don't even affect this year anyways. So they can wait, and if he doesn't show up, doesn't play, we're talking about signing bonus money forfeited, salary forfeited, $30-plus million.
Exactly. They could recoup some of that money. They wouldn't necessarily be any worse off this season, at least on the field as far as roster, and they could wait it out and see if Rodgers caves. So, Bart, I mean, that's really the game of chicken that we're dealing with here. Do you expect Aaron Rodgers at any point under any circumstances to cave?
I mean, I have an out for both of them, right? Because, listen, nobody on this set, no matter how much money you make, are willing to give back $30 million. And remember, that's $30 million that's already been taxed in your bank account, so you're actually giving back more than $30 million. So I think Aaron Rodgers, I think he does show up, but I think the solution to the problem is Aaron Rodgers says, okay, if I come back this year and I play for you, this is my last year, and you're not trading me for anything. I want to be outright released so I can be a reach unrestricted free agent, and I can choose where I want to go, and any team doesn't have to give up any compensation for me in the future. That's my deal, and you either take it or leave it.
How about you, D. Wood? What is your expectation? I get that thinking. It would involve playing another season, and who knows, maybe even winning a Super Bowl. They're that kind of good. What do you think, D. Wood?
Well, I mean, listen, if it's about winning, Greeny, where else? What other option is better than Green Bay right now? Okay, if it's not about winning, then yeah, maybe I could see Aaron Rodgers being like, you know what, I'm out of here. I want to go somewhere else. But if it's about winning, Green Bay is the best option. There's no other option that's better than Green Bay right now that's been the back-to-back NFC Championship game. So I just think that's what we have to – what is this all about? Is it about the front office? Is it about money? If it's about winning, then it can't be about another team over the Green Bay Packers because that's the best option.
All right, guys, sit tight. We will have more on this as we go. And, again, full coverage of LeBron and the Lakers going out. And Coach K is standing by ready to go. So we are jam-packed here. Let me take a very short break because coming up again, LeBron and the Lakers eliminated. What changes are needed in L.A. for another run at a championship? We will have complete coverage. And he is the preeminent coach perhaps in the history of American sports. He has coached so many of the biggest stars in the league. Mike Krzyzewski will join us live on Get Up next on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Duke Blue Devils have won their first ever national championship.
Duke is back atop college basketball's elite.
Duke is king, the fifth crown.
Mike Krzyzewski, the 1,000th victory in an already monumental coaching career.
No one could love coaching at their school more than I have loved coaching at Duke.
He wanted to make an argument that he was the greatest coach in the history of American team sports. You could defend it. He is Mike Krzyzewski, and we are delighted to welcome him live to Get Up the day after the announcement yesterday being made officially that one and done, if you will, Coach, to use a term that has become common in your profession these days. And so thank you. Mike, what made you decide that this was the right time and the right way to do this?
By the way, I've not heard the one and done thing. That's pretty good. It's really good. My wife and I have talked about it for the last few years, but not seriously. And then this spring, we're both 74. Actually, we celebrate our 52nd wedding anniversary today. We got married on graduation day at West Point. And after the season, it wasn't because of COVID or the nature of college basketball or anything like that. And we said, is it time? You know, we have 10 grandchildren, and they all live around us. And then we took time. Once we said we'd like to do it one more year, then we got our daughters together. And we've always made like a family decision. We have three daughters, and we actually call ourselves from the start, when we finally got all three, we called ourselves the Starting Five. And then I talked to my staff and Kevin White, my AD, and Vince Price, my president. And we did it along the way. And it's time. It's time. But I wanted one more year. I'm excited to coach and passionate to coach next season, but I know it's going to be the end. So I didn't want to recruit anybody and then tell them at the end of the year, I'm leaving when I already know I'm leaving. And in this way, if we could name a coach, and one was right there, right on our John Shire, John's ready. He's my top assistant. And so we can do this year, and that can be a runway for John and Chris Carwell and Nolan Smith to form their team throughout in recruiting. So I think it's a good plan. As a military guy, I've always thought of succession. It's part of leadership. It's not just you leading and then leaving. It's you leading and helping somebody in the succeed after, you know, have that continuity of excellence afterwards. So that's what I think a good leader does.
Coach, my observation watching your press conference yesterday was how happy you looked. How would you describe your emotions right now?
Yeah, I'm proud. I'm proud of the guys that I've coached, the teams. And I really do feel I've been the luckiest guy in the world. And to do this, and do it at Duke and with the U.S. team at West Point, come on. So I'd rather celebrate that. And I feel great about it. And then hearing from so many people have brought up the relationships, whether they're former players, former staff members, fellow coaches, and just friends, you find out that so many people have shared those moments with you, which makes it really even more fulfilling.
One of those, of course, is Jay Williams, who is, of course, you know, works with us here. And he said on this show yesterday, Coach K doesn't coach players. He changes lives. Coach, what does that mean?
I would think it means that you develop, you know, really lasting relationships with them. One of the cool things, Greeny, about coaching in college, and you had it even more when guys were here for 4 years, where you help guys develop not just as players, but as people. I call it crossing bridges of improvement. And when you help somebody cross the bridge, whether it become a better player, better student, better person, they remember that. And you end up crossing some bridges with them later in their adult lives too. And what I call it is, solid, fulfilling relationships. And with Jay, you know, he was as good a player as there was in college basketball, two-time National Player of the Year, second pick in the draft. And, you know, he has this horrific accident. And, you know, boy, he had a huge bridge to go. I'm so proud of what he's done. He should still be playing. And he'd be an NBA All-Star. Instead, he had to overcome that. And then become, I told him he still has some work to do in the media, but he's become a good father, good husband, and I'm proud of him.
And Coach, you've told me many times that college basketball needs some sort of central leadership, someone like Adam Silver, right, to run everything. What would you say if I said the best person to do that starting a year from now is you?
Well, it's not a job I'm looking for, but behind the scenes, I've tried to be on committees and, you know, we're on one right now. And it's very frustrating, Greeny. And it really, the NCAA, the bureaucracy, and they have to be at a certain level. But it's such a slow process of change. It's not kept up with the pressures that are put on the game of men's college basketball. Yeah, we're really the only sport that is competed against by outside entities. The NBA, you know, there's the NFL, there's Major League Baseball. We're not talking about that, but there's the G League Ignite. There's overtime that's going to be for high school players where they get paid. There's another one that's trying to be developed for college. You have to recognize that you're in a competitive business. Men's college basketball is not just a sport. It's a $1 billion business. It's a $1 billion business. And it needs to be run more like a business and within the structure of all these other sports that the NCAA is responsible in developing. It's different. It's different, and you try to still do it by committees. You can't run a $1 billion business by committees. It's impossible. You can't. Yeah, you know, the coaches are never in. Coaches or the representative are Craig Robinson, a great man, great guy, is our executive director of the NABC. He should represent us in any room that's making decisions about men's college basketball, so that you get a feel for it. Yeah, we should be like Hamilton. We need to be in the room where it happens. Mm-hmm. And there's never a representative representing college basketball in the room where it happens. And as a result, you have really committees running this. And they're all great people in that, but that's not their job. That's another job. They're on a committee. Yeah, they're an athletic director, they're a faculty rep, they're a commissioner, or whatever. And great people, mm-hmm. but they don't have a thing that I learned at West Point, and that's, yeah, for leaders, you have to have pinpoint responsibility. Like, you're responsible for your show, mm-hmm. right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, a committee doesn't run it. You are the one who's responsible. And so that's really needed. And we're way behind in that. I'm sorry to pontificate about this.
No, this is a topic that I would like to expand upon the next time we get the opportunity. I know that you're very busy today. Congratulations on your anniversary. The very best to you and your family.
Thank you.
See you again soon. Thanks for doing this.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, that's the great Mike Krzyzewski with us here. We'll take a short break. There's so much going on today. Coming up, for the first time in his career, LeBron James is out in round one. What happens next? That answer on the way.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
The Los Angeles Lakers were pathetic. They were soft.
It was a horrible effort.
Everything that could possibly have gone wrong went wrong for the Lakers.
They pretty much just kicked our ass. I mean, it's nothing else really to say.
Oh! Booker cannot miss!
It's
It's been a roller coaster for us all year, especially with injuries.
LeBron and Anthony Davis out. The Lakers lost again.
How much ground do they lose come playoff time?
The Phoenix Suns have beaten the defending champion.
It's been mentally draining, spiritually, emotionally draining. And given everything we had up until this moment, made a better man win.
For the first time in his NBA career, LeBron James loses in the first round of the playoffs. The Suns eliminate the Lakers last night. And here is Tim Legler getting up with us this morning. Tim, what does this loss mean for LeBron?
Well, personally, I honestly don't think it means anything. And I think people that are trying to pile on right now, it's almost as if they're speaking as fans, you know, some of these media people, because they wanted to see the Lakers move on because they think it's better for the league and it's more interesting. They need to stop with all that. The Lakers got basically what they deserved because they treated the regular season like a 72-game exhibition season. They put no sense of priority in the season because they thought ultimately at the end of the day, they have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and they'll figure it out when the time comes. And they made some great additions in the offseason. And on paper, they looked unbeatable coming into the season with what they added. But the truth is, you cannot go through the regular season without prioritizing what you're doing. And that's kind of how they acted. They were a team coming off a championship that felt like, hey, we got a lot of vets. We're going to be fine. We don't care where we end up seated. And it's just not the case in the Western Conference anymore, particularly when you have guys that were injured. You have guys that missed as much time as LeBron and AD did. So for me, this whole thing is just a culmination of what was headed their way based on how they treated the regular season. You can't play with a lack of urgency and expect to just show up, flick a switch, and get two great players on the court and make it all happen, particularly when one of those guys ends up, you know, re-injuring himself once you start the postseason. And, Greeny, you're playing against a really, really good team. So long-term and legacy-wise and all of those questions about LeBron, it doesn't affect him at all. LeBron James is the second greatest player of all time. And this is obviously, this is subjective. Anytime this conversation comes up, that's where he is on my list. This doesn't drop him down to third or fourth or anything like that. Now, maybe someday down the road, somebody can catch LeBron James, but not in the foreseeable future. But to me, this doesn't knock him down a rung on the legacy ladder. This is what I expected to happen with the Lakers, really, the way they treated the regular season. It was just a matter of, is their talent enough to get this train back on the tracks? And you know, I gave him the benefit of the doubt that was possible, but I am not surprised by the outcome of this series.
I hear what you're saying, and most of me wants to agree with you, but there's another part of me that says if Anthony Davis isn't hurt, maybe everything they were planning would have worked, which leads me to this question. If LeBron is going to get back to winning another championship in his career, is Anthony Davis just too injury-prone to be depended upon to be the guy to help him do it?
I think so. I mean, I think I felt that way about Anthony Davis really his entire career. Now, look, he was able to get it together a year ago in these unusual circumstances down in the bubble. And, you know, who knows how that ultimately would have played out if that was a normal season and a normal postseason. Bottom line is, though, they did get it done. They got it across the finish line. They got a championship. And he was there, and not just available, he was sensational throughout that run. But we know what Anthony Davis is prone to, and we just witnessed it again. And I give him a lot of credit. People are trying to beat him up and beat up the training staff. It's really, you can't win anymore if you're an athlete. You go out and try to gut it out because you want to try to help your team avoid elimination, and you get beat up for that because you potentially re-injured yourself. So I give him credit for trying last night to go out there, even though it wasn't very smart, because obviously right off the bat, he couldn't move. And a limited Anthony Davis, to that extent, is not going to help you win a game. You need a healthy player in that spot. So it wasn't the smartest, but I give him credit for at least going out there and gutting through it. But this is Anthony Davis's history. You have to know it. And if you're talking about a long-term contract for mega money, yes, there's absolutely concern if you're LeBron James, if you're the Lakers, about his availability when you're going to need him most. There is no question that that is fair to think of Anthony Davis in those terms.
Let me ask you one more on this on LeBron, because I agree with you, this is not a statement about his historical greatness. But are we now at a place? Oh, and we do have Big Perk, who joins us as well here. Kendrick, we've been having some technical issues. Wonderful to have you. I'll ask you this question first. Borky, I'm just going in a whole different direction. LeBron's historical greatness is in stone. Legler, I agree with everything you just said. But at this point, at this stage of his career, at this age, We kept waiting to see him become that game six LeBron that we've talked about. Is that just a part of the past now? I mean, you can't do that for you know an entire lifetime. Kendrick, are we no longer at a place where LeBron James can just put a team on his back the way he used to and carry them all by himself?
Well, Granny, I think so. And when you think about it, think about this. He said last year that we're going to run this offense through Anthony Davis. It's the reason that Bron wanted to run the point guard position because he wanted to go through AD. And I think at that moment in time, we were witnessing him actually hand over the keys to the vehicle, to the car, to Anthony Davis. And I think Bron knows where his body is at. He's still a guy that could go out there and get you 25 points a night. But is he a guy that could put a team on his shoulders and still carry them through multiple playoff series onto the finals with him being the number one guy leading the charge? I don't think so no more. And it's okay. I mean, he's going into his 19th season. This is why Anthony Davis, like Tim Legler was just saying, great point. His health is so important for LeBron James. And it does raise concerns because of his history, Greeny, like Tim just said.
So I want to hold that thought just a second here, guys. Stay with me because I want to show the other game from last night and then how it might all tie together. So Portland-Denver game six was last night as well, with the Nuggets looking to put that one away on the road. Nikola Jokic, Damian Lillard, what a series this was and what a game it was last night. Time winding down in the first half, the Blazers were leading by four, and it's Damian Lillard. You go find me a player who's been better in this postseason than him. His 35th three of the series, most threes in any playoff series ever, he would finish with 28. Now under 5 seconds to go in the third, Nuggets down by six. Monty Morris had himself a night. He scored 22. It was a three-point game going to the fourth. Under 7 minutes to go in the fourth, now Nuggets are just down one. That's Nikola Jokic with the three. He would score 36. Denver takes the lead. Under 4 minutes to go in the fourth, Nuggets by six. Austin Rivers with his own three. Nuggets scored 65 points in the second half. They were pulling away. Just under 2 minutes to go now. Nuggets leading by six. It's Jokic from Morris. Jokic had 27 in the second half, and that's all she wrote. Denver wins 126-115, moving on to the next round to face the Suns. And then after the game, Damian Lillard posted this on his own Instagram. That photo, and as you can read, the caption says, "How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation?" Which is quoting Nipsey Hussle. But as I come back to the players here, Kendrick Perkins, how should someone read that? What should someone take from what Damian Lillard posted?
I mean, he's frustrated, Greeny. He's frustrated. When you think about it, look, the man had 55, one of the best playoff performances that we witnessed in game four, right? I mean, in game five. And then when you think about how deflating that is, when a guy like Dame Dollar has put this organization on his back for 8 years, like you start to wonder. And no one would discredit or look at Dame any type of way if he decided to leave Portland, because we know what he did. We know he tried to stick it out. We know he didn't run from the grind. But at the end of the day, as a player that's getting up, you know, he's 31, you know, he's getting up kind of in that age of, you know, he don't have too much of his prime to waste. And he's looking around. He's like, man, hold on. It might be time. It might be time for a change. It might be time for me to go somewhere else. And no one would be mad at him. I know I wouldn't.
I think that's right. He is 30 years old. So Legs, if indeed this feels like it might be the beginning of that, how would you envision it playing out? How what do you think would be the best scenario for him?
Yeah, I love the word that Perk used, frustrated. I'll even go maybe another level, exasperated. I'll also say this word, Greeny, envious. Envious. And you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about him sitting around year after year, going home in the first round for the most part, and watching stars paired up on other teams make great runs and win championships and have parades and all those things. And we have admired Damian Lillard because he's been in a small market team. He's been that guy that it seems like maybe he's going to stay with one team his entire career. And we've admired him for that. But the problem is this. At some point, you feel like when you're dropping double nickels on teams in a postseason game and losing, you feel like you're banging your head against the wall. And you start to realize, I'm probably closer to the end of my career than the beginning of my career. So do my priorities start to change a little bit? And there is nothing wrong for him to think that way. He cannot be blamed because the landscape of the NBA dictates that that's what you're going to need to do if you really want to have a chance to win a championship. Think about this. He's never even favored in series for the most part in his career. As great as he is, every postseason he goes into, he's an underdog right off the bat, whoever they're playing. So I look around the league, and you start to think about other teams that maybe could be a possibility for Damian Lillard. I don't know if his mind is there. I mean, he sent that out right after the end of his season. You know how frustrated he is sending that out? So maybe he has time to think about it, and he's going to stay in Portland, and that's going to be long-term for him when he has time to think about it over the summer. But right now, in the moment, there's no doubt he's going to sit back for the next, you know, 6 weeks and be envious of what he's going to watch as star players pair up and they make long runs in the postseason. That's got to be difficult for a guy this talented.
Yeah, remember, he played 4 years of college, so he's older than you may think he is. He'll be 31 in July. Let's leave this here for the moment. We have much, much more on this from both of you guys and others as we continue. And then it just keeps going tonight. Kawhi and the Clippers in a must-win situation on the road against Luka's Mavs. Game 6 tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. SportsCenter with Stephen A. will start the coverage at 7 Eastern, followed by NBA Countdown. Meanwhile, as we roll on, again, more on this. LeBron and the champs have been eliminated. Will we ever see him return to the throne? The conversation continues on the morning after. Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and our video of the week comes from California, where the bravest 17-year-old human being that ever lived rescued her dogs with that outstanding block, where she just yeeted that bear directly off that wall. And I've been waiting all week to ask Damian Woody, my offensive lineman, can you give us a sense of that block? What do you think of the form, the technique? What do you think?
Well, I love her hand placement. The hand placement was wonderful, you know. But the question, here's the question, Granny. The question I got is for you. Would you fight that bear over your dog, Phoebe? That's what I want to know. Would you fight that bear over your dog, Phoebe?
Oh, see, now the staff is playing surprises on me here. That's the love of my life. That's my dog, Phoebe. Yes, I would. I would try. Here's the difference between me and that girl. I would run out there and try and yeet that bear off of that wall, but I'd be unsuccessful. And who knows what terrible things might have befallen both my beloved dog and myself. Bart Scott, what do you think? How about this? This is the moment of the year to me, in or outside of sports.
I tell you what, man, thumbs inside to Damon's point. He hit right inside, you know, inside the chest plate of the bear. That's what caused the movement, Greeny. But my mom used to tell me all the time, when I call you, you better come because one day it might save your life. Them damn dogs should have been saying, when he say come in, that means come in. Come on, little scrappy dude. I never seen a chihuahua fight a rottweiler. I bet it ain't pretty. You damn sure don't want to fight no bear.
Jeremy, what do you think?
Man, I am jealous because I don't know that I would come correct like she did, because I get little black bears that come in my neighborhood. I go hide in my office upstairs, close the garage in the fetal position. So I don't know that I would have those kind of guts that she showed.
Well, and I would say this because that video went viral for all of the obvious reasons earlier in the week. And then yesterday we had another moment that almost looked kind of similar, but it couldn't be more different. Look at Tyreek Hill and Orlando Brown. Look, they're going to celebrate and watch what happens here. Look at this. Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Man
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So I enjoy the use of the word yeet as a verb, and that's two cases of in one case, a man, and another case, a bear getting yeeted against their will, and I'm here for all of it. Okay, that was fun. Let's move on to our next order of business. What have I told you? That Tom Brady won his seventh Super Bowl at the age of 43, and his body wasn't close to 100% when he did it. Listen to Buccaneers quarterbacks coach Clyde Christensen offering these thoughts yesterday.
I don't think he was 100% last year, and he said, you know, his quote or close to a quote was, hey, I'm going to get my knee fixed up and I'm going to be much better than last year. And you're going to be excited about that performance wise. You want to feel good. And I think that thing was a nagging nuisance to him, you know, having to tape it every day, having to, you know, just make sure he had that thing loose. So I think he's excited about just feeling good again.
So at 44, coming off of a Super Bowl championship, Tom Brady is excited about just feeling good again. Bart Scott, your reaction.
I mean, you can see that Tom was laboring a little bit. Like, at 44, everything hurts, so he's never going to be 100% healthy. But I think this year, having the compliment of having a regular training camp, having OTAs, even though he's not there, you know, you think about how many moving parts they had last year, Greeny, bringing Gronk in, bringing Antonio Brown in, trying to fit all these pieces in the midst of a pandemic when you can't really have that extra time in the meeting room. You can't have that extra time, you know, practicing. But now this team is going to be much improved, and the league should watch out. But I think the rest of the pack has improved as well. So even though the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may be a better team, I think the path to the Super Bowl and the path to an eighth championship is going to be a lot harder.
That's fair. But D. Wood, your teammate, again, you started with him, he started with you. Is it reasonable to think Tom Brady at the age of 44 is going to be better next year?
Well, listen, first of all, there's no Benjamin Buttons in the National Football League. Father Tom eventually catches up with people, but I will say this. Man, there was no offseason last year, okay? There was no offseason, and Tom coming over from a new system in New England down in Tampa Bay, and he put together, and they put this together all on the fly. So now with the whole offseason, and they talked about, you know, Clyde Christensen talked about it, getting the knee cleaned up, going through the offseason program, a real training camp. You would think with all these returning players, they should be on paper better than they were last year. But I do agree with Bart that the competition is going to be better as well because of the offseason.
That's fair. But, you know, Jeremy Fowler, we're sitting here talking about LeBron James, and at his stage of his career, does he have enough help around him? Brady clearly does in Tampa. And you were making an observation about some of the video that we're seeing of him throwing right now and why everyone should be paying attention.
Yeah, Greeny, I spoke with somebody just now with the Bucs who said that Tom Brady has been all gas this offseason. They've been getting reports. He's not at OTAs, but they're totally cool with that. They have no concerns over his knee. He has not been working out with a sleeve on his knee, which he's done in the past, or a brace. He's been running around. And that Instagram workout video that he posted recently, that made its way around the Tampa offices. And there were more than a few observations that maybe Brady is giving a gentle nudge to the rest of the league that he will be back stronger than ever in 2021.
That's just incredible. Go ahead, Bart. Final word. I see the look on your face.
Well, you got to take Brady at his word, right? Remember what he said at the end of last season. He said this year he has to evolve and become more of a mobile quarterback. So now maybe instead of, you know, timing him with a sundial, maybe you can do it with a hand clock.
That would be something else. Guys, let's pause on that thought for a moment. More football as we go. Obviously, back to LeBron we'll go. Oh, by the way, our next WNBA games are on ABC and the ESPN app tomorrow as the Aces face league-leading scorer Tina Charles and the Mystics. Then it's the Sky scoring off against the Sparks at the LA Convention Center. All the action again tomorrow on ABC and on the ESPN app. I would like to take a moment to say something about someone that you didn't know, but we all did. Our friend Kurt Ackerman died yesterday. He was just 58 years old. He was a director here at ESPN for 25 years, and he played a huge role on a lot of shows that you watch, including First Take and this one. Everybody here liked working with Kurt. He was quiet, but he was always in command. He listened to the people that he worked with, and he made all of us better at our jobs. We extend our deepest condolences to his wife, Jennifer, and his sons, Andy and David, as well as all his many friends inside and outside of ESPN. We'll be right back.